This is a Fox News alert. I'm Kathleen Maloney. The polls are closed and the election results are coming in. Fox's Lisa Brady is live at the Fox News decision desk.
Kathleen, Fox News now projecting Donald Trump the winner in a total of 14 states, Hillary Clinton in 9. The latest for Clinton, New York, her home state. The latest for Trump, Kansas, North Dakota, South Dakota, Texas, and Wyoming. Plus, in Nebraska, one of only two states that does not use a winner-take-all system of awarding delegates, Fox can now project that Trump will win 4 electoral votes. Still too early to say who will win Nebraska's 2nd congressional district, which represents the state's 5th and final electoral vote. Some key battlegrounds still too early to call, including Pennsylvania and North Carolina. Fox News now calling Florida too close to call. Only one flip so far in Senate races. Illinois Republican Senator Mark Kirk upset by Democratic Congresswoman Tammy Duckworth. Kathleen.
Thanks, Lisa. Donald Trump supporters are watching election results at the New York Hilton in Midtown Manhattan. Fox's Gernal Scott has a live report.
And Kathleen, as the numbers go back and forth, fists are clenched among the Trump faithful as this is turning out to be, as many expected, a highly competitive race with a few hours still to go before the issue is decided. We've seen no sign of the Trump family as of yet, but we have heard from Indiana Governor Mike Pence via Twitter thanking his home state for turning out for Trump. The crowd here growing a bit, still cautiously optimistic that the man they call the candidate for change, the outsider, can pull an election night upset in many eyes. Kathleen.
Thanks, Gernal. And former President George W. Bush voted none of the above for president and then Republican down the ballot. Maryland's Republican Governor Larry Hogan says he wrote in his dad for president. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
You are listening to election coverage with Justice and Drew on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
Justice and Drew, election night results coverage live from the Radisson Blue at the Mall of America. Mike, Brian, Amy Koch, all back at our St. Louis Park studios, manning the Minnesota desk. Minnesota polls are closed, so as soon as we start getting some results in from there, we will start bringing them to you. However, just a quick note, all right, we've been watching Florida with an eagle's eye, right? We've been watching Ohio, we've been watching North Carolina, and right now, Trump is this could not be going better for Trump. Trump 49-48 in Florida.
Well, he could have won by now. That would have been going better.
It could be over. 50-47 North Carolina. Ohio is a tie. Virginia, Clinton is chipping away at that lead a little bit. It's 46-49. However, real quick note, and with 76% in, they're counting of 4.3 million votes for Trump in Florida. Shattering previous records. Obama in 12 got 4.2. Obama 08, 4.2. Bush 3.9 and 2.9. Trump was 76% in, 4.3 million votes.
That's amazing.
This is going to be, regardless of the outcome, a very historic night.
And we're going to be going back to Mike and Brian in the TCNT studios. Your phone calls as well, 651-989-5855. And I just want to take a moment. Thank you so much for joining us for this broadcast. To you who have tuned in tonight and that are watching this whole thing break down. You know, it's moments like this for us as talk show hosts where you never know how it's going to play out, and it really is a privilege to be able to deliver this information. And moving forward, you know, now more than ever, you know, we're going to need to talk about these issues.
Yeah.
Now more than ever, we're going to need to break these things down. Now more than ever, I'm so happy to be a talk show host because the ground is shifting beneath our feet, and we're all going to be heading down this new path that we're seeing being blown open this evening. And I'm just really, really thankful that you are tuning in tonight and that you're here with us, because again, now more than ever, I feel like talk radio, you know, is going to be so crucial moving forward after tonight's election.
It's going to be absolutely important because regardless, look, if you're a conservative activist, right, you know, Trump is Trump may be a hard pill to swallow for a lot of conservative activists, the people that are really focused on advancing limited government, limited executive branch powers, things like that. A lot of those people had a very tough time swallowing the Trump pill. So it's more important than ever that you stay engaged, stay involved, keep your congressmen, your representatives, your senators accountable, and make sure that they're doing their job as members of Congress, which is reining in and keeping check on the executive branch.
And before we go to the phone calls, Mike and Brian, I want to give you guys both an opportunity to hop in here because, you know, one of the things, and we've talked about this on the show, but, you know, one of the things that makes talk radio so great, that makes what you guys do so great, is that, you know, it's just us. We're not beholden to other individuals, to outside factors. We're all just individuals that love politics, that want to talk politics, want to talk about the issues of the day. And, you know, it's obvious there's a bias in the media, and that's why we're able to do what we do, and that's why we're here. And I'm really proud to be a part of that. And I wanted to give you guys, Mike and Brian, a chance to dovetail off that before we get to some phone calls.
Thanks. I would just say, this is Mike, that it's so much fun. Election night, look, it comes every 2 years, really, but every 4 years is the World Cup, is the Super Bowl, is the presidential race. And we've had a couple in a row where the outcome was fairly well predetermined, and it looked like we were heading toward a third. And that, they're still fun, but it makes it less fun. It's, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours in, it's really great to be sitting here poring over county by county results, yeah, and reporting them to you and building this, hopefully, this narrative that things are going a little differently than we thought they might have, yeah, 6 hours ago. This makes it very, very fun, and I hope it makes for a really good listening because I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I mean, this is Nerd Christmas, and, you know, count me amongst the people that are thrilled to be here. But we do have some breaking Minnesota news. CBS News Politics has tweeted, says, new Minnesota is a toss-up between, whoa, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Oh, new estimates. Now, right, it says 0% reporting.
I'm glad you turned the delay on because I might start cursing.
Yeah.
Hashtag landslide.
Hashtag landslide.
Hashtag landslide.
It says, with 0% reporting, but Donald Trump 49, what? Hillary Clinton 44.
Well, look, guys, we saw that.
That's votes, not percentages.
Yeah.
When I was driving down, I was stuck in traffic. The reason I was stuck in traffic was because there were two women sitting on an overpass with Hillary signs. And as I drove underneath them, the only thing that came into my mind, which was awful, was, I really hope you ladies are sad tonight.
Aww. Aww. I hope you cry.
And they get over it. Yeah, but I hope that they're sad.
John, we call that mansplaining in the business.
John, you're not helping us build our base.
Yeah, good point. Hey, a quick Florida update. 49.2% Trump, 47.6% Clinton, 9.1 million votes cast. Trump's at 4.4 million popular votes.
So what you're saying right now is he's winning in a landslide.
No, well, he's winning.
That's my landslide. Definition. I'm shifting my definition of landslide. That's landslide.
I feel like Trump winning equals landslide.
For your purposes, that might as well be the case.
Hey, since we were talking Florida, let's go to Eric on line one in Ramsey. He wants to talk a little Florida prediction. Welcome to Twin Cities News Talk, Justice and Drew. Sam, Mike, and Brian back in the studios. What's your Florida prediction, Eric?
My prediction is that Donald Trump walks away from it easily because the northern and western part of Florida, they don't call it the redneck Riviera for nothing. And I used to live there, and I miss it.
Well, Drew, you were there. Is that true? Is it the redneck Riviera?
Parts of it, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Panhandle, that's kind of the nickname for the Panhandle area, yeah.
You know, I would love to be the fly on a wall of many suicide hotlines tonight.
Oh.
Oh,
everybody
is being
nice.
Wow.
That's
a little too dark for me.
Be a gracious winner.
I'm all about, you know, victory.
A little sad.
Well, and if I could say,
sad.
If we're going to spike the football, let's do it in the end zone, not on
the
five.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's not be prancing our way into the end zone and have somebody come behind us and swipe the ball out of our hand. Quick update on North Carolina. I'm looking at about 67% reporting. And then my screen disappeared. Hang on.
While you're refreshing, let me swoop in on Florida too, and let's remain, whatever we do going forward, let's remain a data and a fact-based resource. I'm focused on these six counties, and some of them, like Pinellas County, which is just to the west of Tampa, that Barack Obama won by 8 points. It looks to be a fairly highly populated county. Trump is winning by 2 points, so that would be a swing of 10 points.
Wow.
From 4 years ago, and it's more than a half a million votes are in that county. And Pasco County, which was so important to George W. Bush's reelection in 2004, that all Jeb Bush, then the governor, had to do was look at Pasco County, and he knew that Bush would win. Trump is currently winning Pasco County by 22 points.
Well, let's take a look just real quick. When you look at, again, Florida, he's up currently by a few points in North Carolina, up by a few in Ohio, up by a few in Virginia. Again, without knowing in front of me percentages of what the vote count is, there are still, as I was talking about with Drew, the pathways are still very, very, very much there.
Yeah, North Carolina is essentially tied right now. So Trump's lead there Clinton's lead has been chipped away there, and we are at an essential tie in North Carolina. That's huge. I mean, I'm of the opinion right now, and granted, a lot more votes to be counted, but Trump wins Florida, hangs on in Florida, hangs on in North Carolina, hangs on in Ohio, and he's up in Virginia.
Virginia.
Those things all stay, and granted, they might not. Man, I'm calling the night for Trump.
Yeah. Landslide? Is that landslide?
I didn't say that word.
Is that a landslide?
I didn't say that word.
Kind of language that I'm hearing from
no,
you.
No, I'm a regular.
If he wins, I'm just claiming landslide.
I'm a regular listener to the show. I thought there was a Minnesota component to the landslide, so let's let the Minnesota.
Oh, that's right.
Guess.
I forgot. Yeah, you know what? Minnesota. You know what? You are right. Yeah, you're right. They're right. In my book. I did include Minnesota in the landslides. I'm going to have to back off that.
So as long as we get Minnesota.
Yeah, then we can claim landslide.
I'm claiming landslide if you win.
651. Okay. It stands for selection. We can give her a free pass.
Thank you.
651-989-5855. Let's go back to the phones, and we'll talk to line two, Mike in Minneapolis. He's got a question. Good morning. Good evening, Mike. I didn't know. I got the Drew disease.
Yeah, it's hard not to
Thanks
do that.
Thanks for joining us on this election night. What's your comment? Mike.
Yeah, I went into the library that's on Lowry Avenue North to place my vote, and there was a bunch of people talking with the guy with the name tag on that said that he was an election judge about how they were voting for Hillary. And I said, excuse me, you're not supposed to mention that in this room. Well, they would not accept my ID because they said that it was dirty, even though it was completely valid and legible, and they would not let me vote, and they pushed me out of there with the security, so I was not allowed to vote for merely voice.
Right, you need to contact the Secretary of State's office tomorrow, and you should be, because it doesn't sound like there was any reason to deny you your opportunity to vote. So make sure you contact the Secretary of State's office tomorrow, and please keep us updated. AndrewLee@iHeartMedia.com is my email. Keep us updated on your story, and we want to get an update on that and see how that plays out. Let's jump to line three.
Yeah, we'll talk to Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. Thanks for calling in. What's your thoughts?
Oh, I'm just wanted to call in and thank you guys for being there tonight. We get a double dose of you today, and that's great.
Oh, thank you so much,
so
Debbie.
Nice.
We really do, and thank you for listening. You know, we really do appreciate it, and it's been a fascinating day so far, and it really is it's an honor to be able to do this. It really is. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks. I'm glad to share it with you. Thanks. Bye.
You know, the one thing I'll say before we get back to the phone calls, getting back to Mike real quick, I don't know what your experience was, but, and maybe I've been really, really blessed in this way, but every time I've gone to vote, I've always had a really pleasant experience with everybody that I've come in contact with in terms of getting registered to vote and the whole voting process, and just a hat tip to the volunteers that go out and do that every single election cycle, who donate their time and have to deal with so many different contingencies as it relates to people going out and being able to vote, especially here in Minnesota. The group that I saw over at Johnsville today were so kind and helpful. And, you know, those individuals donate their time for the most part, right, when they go out and work these elections, depending on who they're with. And I just want to throw a quick hat tip to them.
Absolutely. And there may be some modest pay involved with that, but it is thankless. Essentially thankless.
And this is Brian. We do have some breaking news. Some races have been called in Minnesota in the House. We'd like to congratulate State Representative Paul Anderson in 12B and Dean Erdahl in 18A for decisive early victories, which was hastened by not having opponents. So,
all right, so the Republicans are moving on the Minnesota House.
We need a breaking news sounder. So they're up to two in the Minnesota House.
We got two.
They won't be dry there.
Now this election is shaking out in a ways that can be very surprising for a lot of people. And Amy Koch is still with us back there at our Minnesota desk. You were part of the GOP takeover of the Minnesota Senate in 2010, which came as a surprise to a lot of people. Do you see or feel any parallels as to what's went on then, as to what's been going on in the run-up to this election?
Well, yeah, so a couple things. In 2010, right, we needed 13 seats in the Minnesota Senate for the majority, and we picked up 16. I think it's safe to say that probably besides three or four of us, nobody saw that one coming. and I will just point out also, by the way, that hashtag landslide, on the podcast Wrong About Everything, guess who picked Trump of the three, one out of the four picked Trump, and that was me.
Yeah, that was Amy.
We thought it was just because you were a funny Republican woman.
Yeah, right. No, because I think you can look at the polls, but what I was going on was the energy that was there, and I went to the Trump rally, and I've been vocally critical of the Trump race, but when you went to the rally and you saw the numbers of people, the line down the street, around the corner, and these people were fired up, and that kind of energy, I have been to a lot of political rallies, and I've not seen a rally like that.
Amy, were there throngs of people?
Throngs of people, and these people were excited.
I got thronged by people.
You can't manufacture
nobody
it.
Nobody would throng you.
No, you can't manufacture it. So now the question will be, if Trump is overperforming, and I believe he's gonna really overperform in the Iron Range, which is gonna mean seat pickups potentially for the Minnesota House and Minnesota Senate, certainly for the Republicans. What else does he do down in Owatonna, where we need to pick up a Minnesota Senate seat? What's going to happen in Red Wing, where it's been a battleground for the House and the Senate? I think that a strong Trump showing, like he's doing in some of these other, you know, in other states, if he has that same effect in Minnesota, that is going to bode well for Republicans in the Minnesota Senate and the Minnesota House. The energy will be on our side. So, other than that, it kind of has that feel. It has a little bit of that feel. It doesn't have exactly what 2010 had, where it was just overwhelmingly Republican. And we knew within first two seats that we picked up two of our most difficult seats very early on. And once we had those, then you just knew that, all the seats were coming in.
Yeah.
Applying that to what we're seeing, and granted, it's entirely different scenarios, I concede that, but applying it to what we're seeing early on here, do you feel like with some early state momentum here on the East Coast for Trump, that could lead to a wave? I mean, polls are still open out west, and it's not unheard of for early results in East Coast states to sort of affect late turnout in the western states.
Yeah, and I think the key is when you're looking at and Mike talked about the county down in Florida where Barack Obama won pretty handily by 8 points, and now Trump is, in a populated county, which is kind of a suburban area, is up by two. If that holds across the country, and there's no reason, unless that's a very strange anomaly, it's likely to happen, then that's going to help. You're going to see that play out not just in Midwest states, but as you said, that momentum is going to catch in the West and mountain states and in the West, Western states. And I'm not saying landslide, but I'm saying it so far, it's looking much better for Trump than people expected.
Yeah, and Amy, to that, I've always felt that this election, and most of them do. So this isn't groundbreaking by any stretch of the imagination, but it was going to come down to these final couple of weeks, especially with this election. And I thought it was more going to be based off controversy, and it wasn't. It really came out based off of more sort of conventional means of getting out in front of people. And the one thing that I thought was really interesting in this closing week was Trump's tactic actually had the Hillary Clinton campaign chasing him around the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of the places where he was going, Hillary Clinton, the Clinton campaign started following him, which began to sort of show, and I heard some commentary earlier today, what we're starting to see, and that is, again, this Electoral College map changing. And it appears, depending on how things hold, the Clinton campaign was aware of this, and they were starting to play catch-up because, you know, somebody on Trump's campaign made a decision to go unconventional and start going after some states that traditionally haven't gone red. And we're almost seeing it play out depending on what holds.
Right. Well, and look at Minnesota was at the centerpiece of that, right? There was
right.
Just every pundit said, why on earth would you go to Minnesota? Don't waste your time in Minnesota. And Trump addressed that at the rally. He said, you know, don't let them be right, meaning the media, who he mocked a number of times. He said, don't let them be right. Prove them wrong. And now, again, you know, I don't know that he wins in Minnesota,
right.
But he could win very strongly in the range and in certain parts of Minnesota, even in the suburbs, potentially do better than he's been expected. And that's going to be helpful to Republicans across the state. So
and
we'll
he's up currently in Michigan. And just one more quick sort of point on his visit to Minnesota. You know, 24,000 people show up and he makes the comment that, look, I came here, she didn't. And to me, that cuts to the core of why so many people despise that woman, you know, because of that very reason. And I really do think for some individuals out there who were on the fence, you put out something like that, and I do think that for what it's worth, it sticks. Now, if it sticks enough for him to win, I don't know, but I think it does stick.
Yeah, voters do not like to be taken for granted. They absolutely don't. You see that play out over and over again, whether it's a longtime incumbent that starts to sort of neglect their constituencies, or when you do something like what Trump pulled. I don't know that he pulls out Minnesota. That would be, then we are talking landslide. Yeah, that
well,
would be landslide, but
the,
he keeps it within
with
a couple
the,
points. You know, that's
with
that's
that
really
eight
something.
Counties reporting in Minnesota, Trump's up 53-36. So let's just call it.
Just real quick, Mike and Brian, and I'll let you guys kind of bounce back and forth on this. Again, being the newbie here to Minnesota, you know, explain to me and maybe other individuals that like myself, you know, the possibility, just for a second, entertain the idea, the possibility of Trump picking up Minnesota for the first time since 1972, you know, there is a demographic makeup, you know, especially as it relates to the rural counties in Minnesota that makes that possible to happen, right?
It makes it very unlikely. Over 60% of the population lives in the Twin Cities metro area. So, you know,
he's going to have to pick up there if he's going to win.
You'd have to do well in the exurbs and better than expected in kind of the first ring suburbs. And then just the overwhelm in greater Minnesota, which now, as I say that, that appears to be exactly what's happening in North Carolina and Virginia. So, I mean, it makes it an unlikely thing, but we may be watching an unlikely thing. So I guess I can't rule it out at 8:24.
Now, Zach, the delay is on, right? If this keeps up, I'm not going to be able
landslide.
To control it. Well.
Hashtag landslide. Andrew's going to have to say all kinds of nasty things.
That's right.
Well, and Drew, let me throw this at you too. You know, we haven't really talked about it, but when you talk about Trump as a person and as a candidate, and the fact that because of who he is, he does have the opportunity to cross appeal, especially for people that just don't like Hillary Clinton and people that don't believe that he's really, truly conservative,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, are we looking at potentially, I'm really making this more convoluted than
it needs to be. Let me decipher.
Are we looking at people who went to the polling booth, put a vote down for Trump, not for Hillary Clinton, that
right.
may be DFLers potentially and are telling their friends otherwise?
Well, I think one thing that you have to factor into this too is that, you know, let's just, you know, if we're continuing with that Trump could win Minnesota, it is clearly an anti-Clinton vote because let's remember, Trump came in third here with Republicans for our precinct caucuses. So, you know, we have had the chance to, you know, hoist Trump up on our shoulders and carry him around, and that's not what we chose to do. So to the degree that Minnesota Republicans and independents and maybe some Democrats are warming to him, it would really appear to be illogical if not for it being an anti-Hillary vote.
Yeah, well, and let's remember how Minnesota went in the caucuses. This was the only state that went to Rubio, and Bernie Sanders performed really well here. Brandon, in line one, you've been very patient. Let's go. Let's see what you got to say.
Hey guys, listen every morning. Just want to say you guys are awesome. So
hey Brandon,
so much.
You're awesome.
I love it.
Thank you. Hey, so I got a question. Me and my brother are having a little text message conversation following everything on Fox News and the map and everything. We're both kind of wondering, how do they declare like a state like New York when only 1% of the votes are in for that area? We were wondering if you guys could explain that.
Well, it's essentially exit polling and just sort of knowing and looking at all the data and polling that you've had up to election day, knowing how reliably blue a state it is. It's not officially declared. It's safe to declare would be the best way to phrase it. They can go ahead and call it because the odds are, based on the data that they have, the voter registration rolls, you know, how many Democrats as opposed to how many Republicans are registered, exit polling data to see what counties, I mean, they can break it down by congressional districts, by precincts, and look at turnout in those precincts and the demographics and the voter registration rolls in those precincts and say, all right, if we have X percent of turnout in these counties and these precincts, then we know that the state is going to go a certain way. Does that make sense?
You know, and I want to
go ahead and say, yeah.
I want to, you know, and Mike O'Brien, if you guys want to jump in and geek out on this at all, feel free, because I do think there's, again, a conversation to be had down the road where we're relying again on exit polling. But I remember just a few short years ago when all the exit polling was wrong and everybody was declaring that we've got to change the way that we're calling these races because we can't trust the exit polling anymore. And now you flash forward a handful of years and here we are trusting the exit polling again.
Well, I think that it's important not to trust the exit polling, though. Yes. I think we also can't completely discount it. I think it's going to be right more often than it's wrong. However, we have seen there have been some pretty spectacular examples of it being wrong to the point of, you know, of course, like, remember Florida, you know, being called one way, pulled off, and then called another way and pulled back off. So I think that we need to be careful about that for sure.
I'm actually just texting with a guy back and forth who's a colleague in Michigan that I've done some projects with, and he said the exit polls in Michigan had it 48-48. And if we wanted to watch and of course, to the caller, the exit polls are the most reliable because one of the problems you have prior to the election is modeling who is a likely voter. Well, you don't have that problem with an exit poll because you're literally catching them as they leave the voting booth, so you know they are voters. And the exit polls in Michigan had it tied at 48. So we're going to be watching Oakland County in Michigan, which is a traditionally Republican county. Right now, it appears that Hillary Clinton is up by 7 points in Oakland County with over half a million votes. So that's kind of, I assume, we're doing it on the radio, but I assume the number crunchers are doing this in a much more sophisticated manner down to the precinct, and they can tell you when, you know, we know that these three precincts are out, or this county or that, and that should be reliable Democratic or Republican turf, and therefore we feel very confident to say that, you know, so-and-so is going to win based on this.
Yeah, and I can definitely remember back when I was legislative director to House Speaker Steve Swigum in 2006, when we ultimately lost the majority, he was having me really drill down to specific precincts in each district. And in my home district, we were up, and he said, good, at least we're going to keep, you know, Apple Valley. And I said, Speaker, Precinct 5 did not come in strong enough for us. Precincts 2 and 4 are still out. We're going to lose, which is ultimately what happened. So being ahead doesn't matter if you know that the districts or precincts are coming that you are not going to win.
651-989-5855. All right, we need to regroup coming up here in a moment. Drew, we've been looking at a series of states, Florida, Michigan, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia. Depending on how things hold, there's some very, very interesting pathways that have been opened up here, and Trump continues to hold a lead in several states. And if that continues to trend that way, things are looking very good for him. Now, again, you don't want to get too overly optimistic, but we need to kind of break this down coming up in just a few minutes.
We'll be right back. You're listening to live election night coverage. Stunning, stunning results so far on how Trump's performing in the early states. I'm Drew. That's John Justice. Mike and Brian back at our Minnesota desk. thanks to Amy Koch. She had to bolt. Thank you for her to her for sticking around. That was fantastic. We'll be back in just a minute.
We report. You decide. Your Fox News update is on TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Lee Silasera. Polls closed in 14 more states about a half hour ago. Fox News can now project that Hillary Clinton will win Connecticut and her home state of New York. Fox can also project that Donald Trump will win the states of Kansas, North Dakota, South Dakota, Texas, and Wyoming. In Nebraska, Fox can now project that Trump will win four electoral votes. Florida and Pennsylvania, too close to call. Republicans hoping to maintain control of the Senate, with Marco Rubio among those holding on to his seat.
We have been through an interesting year as a nation, and we await the results of tonight's election. But here's what I know for sure. Here's what I know. There is still no nation on earth that I would rather be.
And the Fox News Decision Desk now projects that Republican Senator Johnny Isaacson of Georgia will defeat Democratic challenger Jim Barksdale. This is a Fox News alert.
You are listening to election coverage with Justice and Drew on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
AM 1130. This is a stunning evening so far. Now, granted, a lot of these states are not done, but we're looking at Ohio, 44% in, Trump 51, Clinton 44, North Carolina 50% in, Trump 49.5, Clinton 47.9, Florida 92% in, Trump 49.2, Clinton 47.7. He wins those three states, that really narrows Clinton's path to 270. I'm Drew. That's John Justice. Mike and Brian are back at the station, manning our Minnesota desk. I know Minnesota polls have been closed for about 36 minutes now, so we're going to start getting some numbers rolling in, guys. Anything jumping out at you early on in the Minnesota?
No, I'm following the House very closely, and Mike is following the Minnesota Senate very closely. There are some numbers that are coming in. They are very preliminary, so I wouldn't necessarily say that anything is reportable at this point.
But with 11 counties reporting, Donald Trump is still ahead. Hashtag landslide.
You know what's...
I'm about to jump on this stupid landslide bandwagon, I swear to God.
You know, guys, what's really interesting to me on this has been... What the polls are going to end up bearing out when this night is done. And let's swim in the waters of Trump winning at the moment and everything kind of sticks to where it is.
I like those waters.
I do like those waters. They're very warm and comfortable, especially this time of year.
No alligators in them.
But, you know, that being said, this is really going to do a lot of damage to those polls, because if he picks up the state that it looks like it's going to pick up, I spent a lot of time looking at the RCP averages today and playing with that map. These were states that I was not putting in his category, which means that the way that they've been doing the polling really underestimated the power of this massive surge of voters that came out today. They just, at least so far, have not accounted for them. Mike and Brian, you know, your thoughts, you guys have had some time to kind of sit there while we've been doing our coverage here nationally. You know, give me your vibe right now.
Well, I mean, I'm still, you know, cautiously optimistic is what I would say, because at the end of the day, you know, coming close isn't the same as winning. Overperforming isn't the same as winning. So, I want to see what when there's a check mark by Florida, then I think that we can really, you know, dive down and talk about polling and whatnot. But what I think that this shows is, I think you've been hearing a lot of people talking about how the polls were not capturing the Latino vote. The polls were not capturing, you know, some of the other communities of color and their votes. I think that what we've been hearing from the Trump campaign is that the polls aren't capturing their people. If you want to go back to the 70s, wasn't it Richard Nixon with the silent majority? Yep. I mean, I think that it's hearkening back to that a little bit. And, you know, I think that what it is that there are different communities here on both sides that have felt abandoned by, you know, the establishment. We've talked about this a ton over the last year, and I think today so far, the silent majority of Trump voters might be, barking a little louder than some of the other groups.
Now, I have not been one of those people that consistently discounts polls. I think polls are important. I think looking at an aggregate of polls does tell you a story. However, you have to give credit to a lot of those people that said the polls are not representing likely Trump voters, likely Republican voters. The way the polls are weighted, the way the sample sizes play out, there is a distinct statistical Democratic bias to a lot of those polls out there. I was listening to one of my talk radio heroes, Neil Bortz. He's retired, but he does these little podcasts. He throws out these little like 9-minute podcasts every once in a while, and he was talking to a retired pollster, retired pundit, in his most recent podcast, who basically said that looking at these polls, looking at the way they're weighted, looking at the sample sizes, looking at the underrepresentation, he was calling for a Trump. He was very confidently calling for a 4-point Trump win today. So maybe he was right. Maybe he's got his finger on some of the shortcomings of polling, the way it's currently working.
John,
at least the way it's worked in this
election.
John and
Drew, we do have some breaking news. Hillary Clinton has won her home state of Illinois. Her home state of New York, but she lost her home state of Arkansas.
651-989-5855. I've been really, really interested in the social networking aspect of and how it affects politics. And I'm a firm believer that just as a society, we have not caught up to the effect that social networking is having in a number of different ways, and certainly not as it relates to politics, Facebook and Twitter. And I can't help but wonder how big of an effect Twitter and Facebook had in getting people educated, however loosely you want to use that term, but getting people involved and educated in politics, because so much commentary of Trump on Twitter and on Facebook and so much talking within these inner circles of friends, I really wonder how big of an impact that had in getting people who don't normally go to vote, of all different demographics, out today to go and vote. And I wonder how big of an impact that really ends up having at the end of the day.
Well, and John, what I would have said that Twitter and Facebook and social media had a tremendous amount to do with pushing, getting people out to vote. However, I would have said that, once again, that it was the DFL machine that was working a little bit more seamlessly and seemed to have, by sheer volume, seemed to be doing a better get out the vote job. But that might not be true. You would think younger voters, they're going to be more tech savvy, and that would be who would be reached by the Clinton campaign. Maybe that's not going to play itself out.
No, you wonder too, and you do wonder, how much the effect of people just talking about it, for all the ridiculous memes that you see, the way that people get engaged in threads. I mean, we've all seen there was something I did in the middle of the year where it was right before I think Trump got the nomination, and I simply put Trump in a Facebook status and then just backed away. And I watched my longest thread ever on my Facebook page just erupt by simply putting his name on there. I find that aspect of it fascinating. And as we watch the potential of this map to change tonight, I think, again, conversations and things to look at in the weeks and months to come after all this plays out tonight. We are really in the middle of something truly historic.
One note, I've been actually doing math for a little while here. I'm following one of the main districts I think to watch in Minnesota tonight is the race in Senate District 48 for the minority leader, David Han. I know everybody this time is not surprised that he was in it for a tough race. I was actually just doing some comparisons of the precincts. There's about 16 precincts in right now, about half the district, and Senator Han is currently losing by about 200 votes. And it looks to me that if I'm doing this right, those same precincts had him ahead by 1,600 votes 4 years ago. So it looks like he's losing ground relative to his performance from 2 years ago. So just trying to keep reporting on some of these local races, too, as the numbers come in.
Yeah, keep us posted on that. Let's take a quick phone call. Line 2, Eric in Medina. Good evening, Eric. Sorry? Did we lose Eric? Okay, we lost Eric. We're still keeping an eye on things. Let me get you the latest out of Florida. I'm glued to these Florida numbers. 49.15 for Trump, 47.72 for Clinton. And Clinton is, that lead in North Carolina has pretty much been wiped out with 55% in. Trump is 49.9, Clinton 47.5. Ohio, Trump 53.
Well, Drew, this is really interesting from the standpoint of, again, talking about those late voters and how the election was going to be decided by basically the second crop of voters that came out to vote this evening. Mm-hmm. If that's true, that's what we're seeing bear out right now. I've been watching these numbers shift, and there was a moment about 20 minutes ago when Colorado was looking handily in Clinton's favor. I glanced over. It's 49-43 Trump now. It's trending the other way.
With 43% in Pennsylvania, another highly watched swing state. That, it looks like it's solidly in Clinton camp so far. 25% in, 56 Clinton, 39 Trump.
But look at Michigan. You're looking at 45-50 currently.
Yeah.
When you look at Virginia, again, that's been holding for a long time now at 47-48. Ohio, Clinton at 44, Trump at 52. Now, for what it's worth, Drew's got Real Clear Politics open. I'm looking at Drudge.
Yeah.
Drudge has been doing this thing where he's been putting the asterisk next to some of the states that he believes are going to go Trump's way. He's got it next to Trump on Florida, and he's got it next to Trump on Ohio for what it's worth. Guys, do you have any further updates on Florida as it stands right now, certainly in the way that it's been trending?
No, I don't think we have anything brand new. We're glued to it. We're bouncing between several different states because it is really coming down to, county by county, district by district. But I don't think we don't have a solid Florida update right now.
Yeah, sorry, I've been focusing on Eden Prairie.
Yeah, well, Eden Prairie is pretty important, at least to me.
Mike and Brian, back at the Minnesota desk, before we take a quick break here, at what point are we going to get a gauge, or can you look at anything as it relates to the one ballot initiative and the voters, either giving or not giving, those in the legislature the opportunity to vote on their own salary?
Well, I think that it's going to be real interesting because I think that the yes and the no votes for that are really so counterintuitive, because to a certain degree, you would think that voting yes, taking that power away from legislators to increase their own pay, would be a good thing, when we know that in reality, that's the opposite of what would happen, and that keeping that making them have to go on the record to raise their own pay is what stops them from raising their own pay.
It's. I just pulled up the results from the Secretary of State's website. Yes is currently ahead. 76% is going yes.
Was guys? I wasn't there when this was put on the ballot. But was there any battle whatsoever over the wording of how they put this ballot initiative?
Not a tremendous amount.
There should have been. It was pretty quiet.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I also think that it's not that they don't deserve a little bit more pay. I just think that it's extremely important that they have to be on the record to get it.
Yeah, exactly. I've said on the show a number of times, I sort of lean in the camp of I'd be totally fine with them making a little more than they do right now, because I hate seeing, like, the Brandon Petersons, you know, the good young legislators. Tim Sanders, yeah, good young legislators who really have their pulse on that younger end of the conservative movement and what younger conservatives what issues are really important to them. And they've got their finger on that pulse, but they just can't do it because they've got young kids, they're young parents, they've got to raise their family, and they can only sacrifice so much. and I hate seeing them leave. And if we can raise the pay a little bit and keep some of the really good ones in there, man, I think it's absolutely worth it. Let's take a quick break. Phones are open, 651-989-5855, if you want to call in and give us your thoughts on what we're seeing so far this fairly stunning evening. If you're a Trump fan, you got to be at least a little bit, you got to be happy, and you got to be a little bit surprised at what we're seeing so far. We'll keep going. More Minnesota results coming up right after this.
Landslide.
You are listening to election coverage with Justice and Drew on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM, also anywhere on your iHeartRadio app. Take us with you. Stay with us all night. We are live at the Radisson Mall of America. I'm Drew. That's John Justice. Sam Sansevier with us. Mike and Brian Backman in our Minnesota desk at St. Louis Park. We're going to be here. I think we're going to be here for a while, John. This is going to be a later night than you thought it would be, because this is this has turned into a massive nail biter. And I got a bit of breaking news real quick before we a little bit.
Okay.
But betting markets?
Yeah.
Betting markets, a lot of people like to look at betting markets because where people put their money is oftentimes where things are going to go. Betting markets are now favoring Trump.
Wow.
For the first time.
Well, we have...
Landslide.
The Minnesota desk has some non-Minnesota breaking news.
Go for it.
Be keeping a real close eye on Virginia. We see that Clinton is really closing the gap and is about to move ahead in her home state of Virginia.
Yeah, you know that it's hard to defeat that home state advantage. All her employees are now voting for her right now.
That's she just screamed, "Go Nationals!"
There are. Let me look at Virginia real quick. 90% in. This is according to Real Clear Politics. 90% in. 47.6 Trump. 47.3 Clinton.
Talk Another about a squeaker.
Absolute nail biter. I don't want to ever hear anybody say my vote doesn't matter.
Your vote matters so much.
But just talk about that in terms of nobody was talking about Virginia for months.
No,
this is the home, the actual home of Tim Kaine, the would-be vice president.
Well, actually, isn't his home state Minnesota?
That's true. but I mean that you know, if that has any sort of foreboding for the Clinton folks that they're losing one of the two states that they're from, and that nobody had in the Clinton, or it's rather in the Trump column or in the swing state column, this could very well be a long night. And Andrew, you're not getting your chair back for at least until 5:30 or 6 a.m.
Well, you could have it. I'll just sleep in.
I need to interject for a second. As it relates to landslide, I said nothing about length of time to get there.
Yep.
There was nothing. If that landslide starts this evening, it doesn't end until Friday, that's landslide.
Right. We didn't say it would be quick. It's going to be painful.
Well, we're
going to get there.
If I could piggyback on something that Mike just said, you know, Mike said that no one was talking about Virginia. Let me prematurely eat some crow. Donald Trump was talking about Virginia.
True.
Yeah.
True. Well, you know, and that goes back.
You got to give Trump credit.
We were talking with Amy, and that goes back to the game that Trump was playing in this closing week of essentially making the Clinton campaign, you know, chase them around the country while he went to states that normally they wouldn't have to even bother. Fighting in. It's funny, guys, during the break I was listening to some of the national coverage, and one of the things that I love to do just from a, you know, being talk show hosts and listening to the national pundits is when things aren't playing out the way that they expected, to see them dance around and try to explain what's happening within the confines of not being able to really provide open commentary. I get such a kick and amusement out of watching that.
I saw a tweet earlier that somebody had tweeted, Chris Wallace just said, "Holy crap, Trump could win this thing."
Did he report? Did he have a? Oh, Chris Wallace. I was thinking Chris Matthews. I don't know, maybe he had a chill down his leg or a lightning bolt or whatever.
Well, and you know, Mike and I, we are watching closely a lot of the Minnesota House and Senate races. And one of the things that I noticed in Eden Prairie, that Mike was talking about with Senate Minority Leader Hahn, was that in that race, Senator Hahn is down by about 500 votes. Hillary Clinton is up quite handsomely in that district, but so is Eric Paulson. And on one side of the district, the Mary Shapiro, Lori Pryor seat, Lori Pryor, the Democrat, that's an open seat, is only up by 200. So it does look like people are differentiating between the candidates. And as we always say, Minnesotans are ticket splitters, and it looks
they are
doing just that.
Now, a quick update on things. Nick Zerwas has joined us. We're going to talk to him in just a moment. But Fox News has called Virginia for Hillary Clinton. Now, the ones that we're looking at currently, Florida, Trump's still up. Michigan, Trump is still up. North Carolina, New Hampshire, and Ohio are all still in play, depending on if they hold. It looks like Pennsylvania will more than likely go Clinton. Not a huge surprise there.
Yeah.
And Colorado is leaning Clinton's way. But when you look at Florida, Michigan, North Carolina, New Hampshire, and Ohio, there are still pathways for Trump to win this thing tonight.
I don't know where Fox is getting that from. And from Real Clear Politics, it's still very, very close. Where the outstanding votes must be coming from must be absolute Democratic strongholds for them to go ahead and make that call. They may end up regretting making that call, though, because I'm seeing a 0.2 differential between Trump and Clinton right now. So they might have more updated data. Let me give a quick update on Florida real quick. With over 9.2 million votes in, Trump still holding on to a 2-point lead, 49-47.